body was annoying at times. She couldn't help but confess, just blurt out the truth when he looked at her like that. He would never have to resort to torture. It still is kind of bad. Were you going to tell me the level of pain? Her stomach did a slow roll. Probably not. She wouldn't have told him she was in pain for any reason if he wasn't looking at her like that. Don't do it again. Don't keep important shit from me, you understand? You hurt? I want to know about it, even if it's stubbing your toe or jamming a finger. He meant it. She could see it in his eyes and hear it in his voice. He wanted to know if she was hurt. She wasn't supposed to suck it up and keep quiet. She was supposed to tell him. We weren't trained that way, Gino. Especially me. I wasn't allowed to whine. Not for any reason. Once, I broke my arm and Whitney was angry with me for going to the infirmary. I was supposed to keep quiet and try to endure the pain for at least a day or two, not be such a wimp that I left the others during training. She pushed back her hair and looked at him, feeling shame all over again. I didn't leave the others until the training was over. I helped them as best I could. When we were returned to the barracks, then I went. Honestly, Gino, I didn't desert my team. Zara, Whitney needs someone to put a bullet in his head and put him out of his misery. Seriously. A woman breaks her arm. She needs a doctor. Waiting can cause more damage. The man is an ass. You didn't do anything wrong, and you're not a coward. He tried to make you feel like one. But any man or woman who took the kind of beating you did without breaking is no coward. I feel broken, she confessed. I don't know why his opinion mattered so much to me. He went up on his knees, cupped her face in his palms, and kissed her. He brushed his mouth gently over hers, and then deepened the kiss. This one wasn't a wildfire like many of the others. This one was tender, warm, compassionate. This one said things that got to her. When he lifted his head, his gaze held hers. His opinion mattered to you because he was your only parent, your father figure. You're not broken, Zara. You didn't break. You're a little damaged, but that's all. We're fixing the damage. And once we do, you're going to be so strong. The things he said will be a distant memory. You're smart, baby. You're so damn smart, you were a threat to him. Whitney wants everyone to believe he's the most intelligent person in the room. He despises women and thinks they're inferior. You were a huge threat to him, so he had to make you feel like you were nothing. That was his goal, and his way to make you do what he said. She leaned down to brush her lips over his. You make me feel whole. I know I'm supposed to feel that way all on my own, but right now, when I'm with you, I feel safe and complete. Thank you for that. Believe it or not, Zara, you make me feel the same way. I looked for you, for the right woman to share my life with, and until I saw you, I didn't think there was anyone out there who could live with me. You think you're damaged? I know you're a little broken from the things Zhu did to you, but I know damaged. That's me, princess, not you. There is a gaping hole in me, maybe where my heart and soul are supposed to be, and that's gone too. You do that for me. We're meant to be. It's as simple as that. She wanted it to be that simple. If she could just figure out what to do with the information stored in the SSD in her brain and get rid of it, she'd be very happy. I'm adding to the plans for the house. We have a lot of acreage, Zara. I want to know what you're going to need for your research center. Money isn't an object. So put down everything you can think of on your list as you make it. This evening we can go over floor plans, so I have an idea what to have drawn up. Research center? She echoed. He nodded. Of course. You're going to want to continue where you left off with your work, right? You don't have to go anywhere if you don't want to. We can bring in whoever you need to assist you. And when you have to travel to the university, I'll go with you. She got that he didn't ask her if she wanted him to go with her. She got that because she knew another woman might have pointed it out, but she was grateful he didn't force her to admit she didn't want to travel alone. I can't believe you'd have a research center built for me here. Your home is here. Some day we'll have children. I doubt that's going to stop you from wanting to continue your work. It wouldn't. She loved what she did. She loved sharing it and talking with others interested as well. She wouldn't be alone. That was what she heard and what she clung to.
"Do you really mean it, Gino? You'll go with me?"
He nodded slowly, his features very serious, and her heart sank again, afraid he would take it back. "I won't like you traveling without me, Zara, or at least without a couple of the others if I'm away. It's important to me that you discuss all your traveling dates with me ahead of time, so we can work that out." He wasn't asking again. She got that. She found herself smiling.
"That sounds good, Gino. I can do that.
And we have to get on figuring out how to get the information from the SSD into someone's hands so Whitney has no reason to try for you again.
I'll talk to Belicia today. I'm hoping to spend time with her and fix the problems we have. Mostly, I think, I really didn't understand relationships between a man and a woman. I would have a difficult time keeping something from you."
"I wouldn't like it, Princess. Zeke might get upset and talk to Belicia about keeping secrets, but you would have serious consequences for keeping anything from me. When someone wants to talk to you about something important, when they give you that kind of responsibility, you make damn sure they know they're talking to both of us before you take it. Understand?" She was back on serious consequences.
"What kind of consequences?"
"Baby, really? Do you think I'm capable of hitting you? Hurting you in any way? You're what I've looked for my entire life. I'm not dumb enough to fuck that up by being an asshole." She couldn't imagine him hitting her. She liked that he understood she did take responsibility for the things others told her and that he wanted to share that burden with her. She knew other women wouldn't want Gino taking that offer, but she was coming to understand she wasn't other women, and her needs came first with him. He didn't want her to be embarrassed because she didn't like making those decisions. She could if she needed to, but when it was unnecessary, she didn't have to. There was freedom in knowing that.
"I like that you're building..."
"We're building," Gino corrected decisively. "The two of us, Zara. I want you to go over the plans for the house as well as the research center. It will be your house, too, so you need to have it exactly the way you want," he reiterated.
"Our house, then. I like that Cayenne and Trapp are going to be our closest neighbors. I like Cayenne."
She identified with her in some ways. She wouldn't mind being neighbors with her. Cayenne wasn't the type to hang out at the back fence and talk, and she wouldn't expect Zara to either. Gino shot her a glance as he leaned one hip against the porch column. "Cayenne isn't to everyone's taste. Most people are intimidated by her. She's good for Trapp, and she's damn good to him. I've seen the way she is with him." It was impossible to miss. Trapp came in the day after Gino had removed the virus capsules, and he, Wyatt, and Gino got lost in examining the virus under microscopes and a dozen other instruments they had in Wyatt's lab. Cayenne had come in with them, stayed to the back of the room to watch in silence, but every time Trapp needed something, a pen, paper, a drink, whatever, she had it there before he asked. All he did was drop his gaze, look around him, and she was handing it to him. Zara couldn't help watching her, seeing the look on her face when she gave Trapp whatever he needed. Once, she was certain, Trapp needed Cayenne. He turned abruptly, without a word to anyone in the room, walked out, his arm circling Cayenne's waist as he went by her, lifting her and taking her with him. When they returned, he was less restless and more centered, and she was glowing. She gives Trapp whatever he needs, and she does it without asking for anything in return. He gives her everything because she is everything to him, Gino said. His black eyes burned into her, right through her skin to brand his name on her bones. She knew there would never be a time that the moment she saw him, her heart wouldn't beat faster and her sex wouldn't clench and go liquid with need for him. He would never have to worry about other men because she wasn't capable of seeing anyone else. Her world was completely centered around him, and always would be, just as Trapp was Cayenne's center. She didn't mind being like that woman at all. "You going to give me everything like that, baby? Whenever I ask? Whatever I ask for? Is that the kind of relationship you want?" His voice was low, forceful, even though so quiet. Totally compelling, just like the man. If she could have walked,
she would have flung herself into his arms. She detested not being able to go to him. Yes, she made the commitment because that was who she was. She would give everything to him because she wanted that for him and for herself. There was something in her that drove her to please Gino, to make his life as wonderful as she could. It didn't matter that she'd get that same thing back, and she knew she would. It was just that she needed to be needed. She'd never considered her need to please was the underlying reason she'd misled her sisters. She believed they needed to hear the stories of the outside world in order to have optimism that one day they'd get there. She felt it was her greatest contribution to the other women, bringing them hope each time she got back from her travels. Their smiles were always radiant, and instantly, no matter how she'd felt while she was gone, she would light up inside, glow, because they needed something she could give. Gino really needed someone to care for him. He needed a home and family of his own. She could give him the best one possible, the kind of home he needed, because she was that one woman for him. Gino, I'm giving you anything and everything you could possibly want. If I don't know how to do it, just teach me. She couldn't keep the shyness from her voice, but it didn't matter. He accepted her just the way she was, and she loved that. He'd already taught her so many things in the bedroom. She'd enjoyed doing every single one and wanted more. The promise in his dark eyes excited her. Nani tells me you like cooking. She nodded. That's part of why it's so frustrating sitting all the time. You've taken me into the kitchen when Nani's giving a cooking class to the others, but I can't really participate like they do. I swear, sometimes my feet itch to jump up. At his look, she hastily held up her hand and laughed. I didn't, and I won't. Nani would smack me with her wooden spoon if I did that, and you wouldn't be happy with me. So no jumping up, even though I can't always see how she's judging the exact amount of the spices to put in. You'll be able to stand soon enough, and I suspect at some point you're going to get tired of making all the dinners for us, because I'm a lousy cook. When that happens, you tell me. Any time, Zara, no matter how tired you think I am, I don't want you to suck it up. She couldn't imagine ever getting tired of cooking for him and her family, but she supposed day in and day out it might happen. Okay. She bit her lip, wanting to make her confession in a little rush, but not quite able to get it out. It was one thing for him to say to tell him everything she liked or didn't like, but another to do it. She wasn't used to it, as in, she'd never done it. Spit it out, princess. Do you like art? As in going to museums, paintings, sculptures? There was a small silence. He regarded her for so long she was afraid he wouldn't answer. He'd gone very still, as if holding himself frozen in case he might shatter. His features were expressionless, but something moved behind those black, black eyes. My mother loved art, he said eventually. I can remember her dragging me to every fucking art museum in the country and abroad. She would look at paintings for hours. I wasn't always the best, although secretly, I didn't mind as much as I made out. Now, he shook his head and looked out over the river. I wish I had those times back so I could be different. Gino circled the porch column and kept his eyes on the moving water. She wanted to put her arms around him and hold him. You were a boy, and she understood. He looked back at her, that something in his eyes tearing at her. She was gentle like you, Zara. She would have loved you. My entire family would have. I didn't realize it until just this minute, but you're a lot like she was. Not in looks, but your nature, the way you care about me, the things you're willing to do for me. She was like that. She did them for my father, for me. We were the center of her universe. I hate not being able to hold you right now, she admitted. He turned back to her, stalked the short distance between them, and bent down to take her mouth. She expected gentle, but he was rough, his kiss a pure flame pouring down her throat. It was a claiming, and as inexperienced as she was, she still couldn't fail to understand. She took advantage, wrapping her arms around his neck, fingers finding his hair to tunnel in. She gave herself up to him, sensing he needed her surrender. Gino lifted his head slowly. "We own a hell of a lot of art, Zara. You want it? I'll build us a room for it." She collected some beautiful and rare paintings. "They need to be in a controlled environment. We can try to see how many art museums we can visit before we're so old we can't walk anymore, if that's what you want. I promise, I'll enjoy them all with you."
"I'd like that," she admitted.
He straightened and went back to the railing, leaning against it, regarding her with that serious expression he wore most of the time. "You like shopping?"
"I don't know."
She flashed him a grin. "I've only ever really shopped in adult toy stores." He burst out laughing. She loved what that did to his eyes. They crinkled at the corners, and his dimple appeared, softening the hard angles and planes. "Yeah, you can forget going there without me. I'll take you myself." A little shiver crept down her spine.
"I'd like to try clothes shopping, although it probably would be intimidating the first time, but I'd get the hang of it. Belicia might want to go with me into town sometimes."
She liked talking about their future because it meant Whitney wasn't going to get her, and neither was Zhu. Intellectually, she knew she was running out of time, but she needed this fantasy, this world Gino could give her if she survived. He nodded. "Of course. She may want a girl's night out, too. I want those things for you. Any of them ask and you want to go, say yes and let me know. I'll make sure you're safe. I imagine, depending on who goes, the others will make certain as well. I can't imagine Belicia or Cayenne wanting anyone guarding them on a girl's night out." "Doesn't matter, Zara. So, if you're talking about yourself, that's too bad. I can tell you straight up, Trap would never leave Cayenne hanging out there, and Zeke wouldn't leave Belicia either. We have enemies, and we're always going to have them. When you go out, you're going with guards. We can be invisible, but we'll make sure you all get home safely if you want to drink. No one's going to cut into your fun, baby. We want our women happy. And in particular, how you feel is important to me." She thought it was a dumb thing to argue about, because she really didn't mind if he watched over her when she was out with the girls having fun. She would definitely feel safer.
"I get it. Everyone's lived here a lot longer than I have, and I'm just trying to understand the rules, Gino, not really arguing against them."
"Tell me the things you dreamt of when you were going to the university. You had to have seen there was life outside Whitney's compound." She nodded. "It was wonderful and terrifying at the same time. I was so young in comparison to the other students." She didn't always remember those days fondly. "What was wonderful?"
"Being able to take back hope to my sisters. I realized what a family was. I watched some of the kids, and they were far older than me, get visitors. Parents, siblings, grandparents, the people we never had in our lives. I wanted that for my sisters, and I wanted it for me. I would watch television in my room, all the cooking shows, and anything that portrayed families. The books I devoured were all about families. I read about them and saw them on television, and then would tell the others."
"How many children do you want?" She tipped her head up and looked to the sky. Clouds drifted across the wide expanse of blue, but there were very few of them, small wisps that made her think of lazy days. She'd never had that, a lazy day. They weren't allowed such a thing in Whitney's compound. Sitting on the porch or being with Gino at a swimming hole with a picnic lunch was a luxury.
"I don't know how many, Gino."
She was honest. "I read books on parenting because, obviously, I wanted to know what I was doing, and I don't have a good example to follow." She broke off and pressed her hand over her womb, rubbed gently.
"Can you imagine feeling a baby, a life, kicking inside of you?"
He gave her a small grin. It lit his eyes, giving them a glint of humor through all that unrelenting black. "Not really, but I'd like to feel my child kicking inside of you. I thought 3 or 4, but I know that's considered a lot these days. Most people opt for 1 or 2 because it's easier to support them, and they say the planet is exploding with population."
"Does that mean we're supposed to only have 1 or 2?
We can do anything we damn well please, Princess. You want a dozen? I'll fucking give you a dozen. We've got enough money. I can give you anything you want.
What about what you want?
She kept her gaze steady on his. I never wanted much of anything until you came along. I guess I'm going to have to reevaluate what my wants are.
You?
But I consider you a need, not a want. She laughed softly.
You're so crazy. You don't need me. You have all this, this wonderful place, and you have freedom.
Her smile faded, and she fought the sudden lump in her throat.
I don't have that yet. Not all the way.
Any minute I expect someone to come and take me away from here.
I want you to stop worrying about that, Zara.
Let me worry. We need to get the information out of your head. The sooner you tell Belicia she can talk to Zeke, and get her to give you the okay to talk to Trapp and Wyatt, then we can all put our heads together and solve this problem. Trapp is hell on wheels with this kind of thing because he thinks outside the box. Wyatt as well. We'll get the information out, and Whitney will lose interest. She thought it was interesting that he stated she shouldn't worry and clearly expected that she wouldn't just because he said so. He was used to people doing what he ordered, or maybe it was because he always followed through and made certain there was nothing to worry about. Whatever the reason, she felt the now familiar flutter in the region of her heart. He made her feel cared for, loved even. But Whitney wasn't the only one they had to worry about.
You won't lose interest?
She tilted her head, challenging him.
You know he won't.
I've got eyes on him. When he makes his move, we'll get him. The boys and I have been talking over a game plan.
You didn't tell me that.
Her stomach tightened into hard knots.
That means you think for certain he'll come?
It was one thing for her to be so certain, but an altogether different one for him to be. She thought she'd gotten over terror, but it had been waiting. It was right there, pouncing before she could control it.
Zhu, the monster.
He was in every nightmare. Gino holding her close to him helped, but sometimes she woke, her heart pounding and fear drying out her mouth.
He'll come.
Gino shrugged. Let him. He crouched down in front of her again and took her hand, his thumb sliding over her knuckles.
Look at me, Zara.
He waited until her eyes met his, and she didn't like that she had no choice. She was compelled to look at him, and if she didn't, he'd wait forever because he had the patience of a hunter. She swallowed hard at what she saw there.
You've forgotten what I am, baby, and I'm okay with you forgetting once we remove the threats to you, but not now.
Zhu hasn't done anything I haven't done. I can guarantee you, my training started long before his, and he isn't enhanced. I am. Even if it was an even playing field, Zara, you're mine, and that means I have an edge, because I'm not willing to give you up, and that fucker is going to pay for what he did to you.
She took a breath and released it, knowing she should have conveyed everything to him when she first was telling him about Zhu. But she'd been so frightened in those earlier days that small details, no matter how important, tended to escape her.
When I first arrived, I was taken to Cheng's office. He had tea brought in for us.
Zhu poured the tea, and I watched very closely because I was afraid they were going to drug the tea. They had me sit in a certain chair, and I had the feeling they could monitor my heart and respiratory rate.
It would be easy enough.
She nodded.
His thumb continued to slide over her knuckles, and there was something in that simple gesture that gave her confidence.
He poured Cheng's tea first and then mine. He didn't put anything in the tea, but I saw his finger slide around the lip of the teacup, and I knew immediately he'd put some kind of drug on it. I had a couple of choices, but decided to go ahead and drink the tea. I was careful to use the same spot every single time when I sipped it.
So you ingested the drug?
She nodded. It was definitely a truth serum, but one that acted differently than the conventional truth serums.
They've been researching, obviously,
but it was more than that. I got around the need to answer their questions by doing math problems and coding in my head.
What was the more, Zara?
He knew her so well now.
They'd spent so much time together, and he could read her.
He knew she was reluctant to tell him.
You know how Whitney was pairing couples? He wanted to get certain traits together, so he paired us with one another? Well, I think Cheng's people were working on something similar. Or it was a byproduct of the truth serum. It wasn't exactly the same as Whitney's, because I knew immediately that something was wrong. I was attracted physically to Zhu.
She tried to look away from Gino, ashamed that even for one moment, chemically induced or not, she had been attracted to such a horrible human being. But Gino wouldn't let her.
Princess, just tell me. Don't let yourself go back there. They did that to you. They did all of this to you. Cheng, Zhu, Whitney. You aren't responsible for any of it. You're in a good place right now. Don't let them take it away from you.
I got over the attraction fairly quickly. I don't know if doing the math in my head helped, or my fear, or what, but he didn't get over it. He was attracted. It didn't stop him from hurting me. In fact, he made it clear that he would continue to hurt me. So I don't think the physical attraction mattered that much to him. Maybe he's attracted to tons of women.
Gino shook his head. We've had a couple of our best people finding out what they could about him. Flame, Wyatt's sister-in-law, and Jamie, the wife of another ghostwalker, are both very good at ferreting out things people don't want brought into the light. The clubs Zhu frequents when he goes to other countries are not for the nice or faint of heart. They aren't simple bondage clubs. They're clubs where men and women can inflict a lot of pain on others for their own sexual gratification. That's a lot different than tying up a partner for fun and sexual pleasure. Zhu gets off on causing pain. You're perfect for him in a lot of ways. She shuddered.
I'm not, Gino. I hate pain. People like Zhu find women who get off on pain. That isn't me.
No, baby, it isn't. But he's physically attracted. You're beautiful and intelligent. You can contribute to their coffers by leading their research programs. You're naturally passive, or, for want of a better word, submissive. Best of all, for him, you don't like pain. He doesn't want a partner who gets off on it. He gets off on hurting people, seeing their pain. Where is he ever going to find a combination like that? My best guess is, he researched you thoroughly, watched you for a long time, and then set a trap for you. She was silent, hating that he might be right.
You think I'm submissive?
Yeah, baby. I know you are. And that suits my personality. Fortunately, you also have that temper of yours, so you'll keep me in line.
She frowned at him, thinking it over, and then she shook her head.
I like to please you, Gino, but I don't think I'm submissive. I assert myself, even with Whitney, and he scared me. Not like Zhu, but I knew he didn't like me, and he tossed me in solitary every chance he got. Knowing that would happen, I still defied him, especially if he got upset with Belicia or Shyla. It was easy enough to redirect his wrath to me.
Being submissive doesn't make you a wimp, baby. You're strong and courageous.
I have no idea how you could hear his voice telling you that you're a coward, when your brain has to tell you that you aren't. Submissive can mean many things, but it doesn't mean you lie down for everyone. It only means you prefer to comply with an authority figure.
She did, but only if he was just. She nodded.
Whitney was an asshole to everyone. I wouldn't call him in the least bit fair.
Which was why she'd defied him over contraband and a zillion other things. He didn't deserve to be obeyed.
She'd tried so hard to please him when she was young, but then, over time, realized nothing she did would ever be good enough.
Zhu was 1,000 times worse.
Neither man deserved your surrender.
She wasn't talking about that with him, not until she thought it over more.
Why did the pheromones work on Zhu, but not me?
Because I swear, even when he was beating the shit out of me, the physical attraction for him grew toward me while mine toward him was completely gone. Even before he actually hurt me, it was gone. One of the things I was afraid of was that he might douse me with whatever that was, and I'd feel something for him.
Why would he ever use something like that on himself? If he wanted to get you to be attracted to him, he would use it on you, not him.
It was to his advantage to make you want him, not the other way around. He had to have been naturally attracted. Probably the more he hurt you and you reacted the way he needed, the more it fed his attraction. Either you were right, and the truth serum had a side effect, or they were trying out their own, obviously not as good as Whitney's creation. That information wouldn't have been included in the file Violet gave Cheng, Zara pointed out. Whitney went through his computer very carefully. All the details are compartmentalized. She gave Cheng the facts, that the United States had teams of soldiers enhanced both psychically and physically. There were some details, but mainly she counted on Cheng getting a soldier from your particular unit. She detested everyone here because they accepted the babies with their venom, and Pepper and Cayenne with theirs. Whitney was upset that he hadn't gotten rid of Violet a while back, when he first began to lose control. He paired her with him, thinking that would take care of the problem, but it didn't. Because he doesn't understand emotion. No, he doesn't, she agreed. He doesn't seem to really feel much for anyone, unless it's his adopted daughter, Lily. But she's truly the only one, if he really does. She chewed on her bottom lip for a moment, thinking of all the talks she'd had with the doctor. Although he even experimented on her. It bothered him that Ryland, her husband, was one of the first ghostwalkers because he considers all of that team flawed. They need anchors, someone to draw the overload of psychic energy away from them, or they get brain bleeds like Pepper. She nodded. Whitney never liked that she had a baby with Ryland. I know. If he got his hands on the child, he would experiment on him. He talked about it. Whitney often talked to me about experiments, mostly, I think, because he didn't have anyone he trusted that much, and he was certain I'd never be able to get away from him. And you could understand what he was talking about. Gino stood up and moved back into the shadows of one of the porch columns. She liked him close, touching her. She really was too far gone on him, and he couldn't stand just a few feet away without her feeling the loss. Belicia and Zeke are here, Princess. Their car just pulled up.
I don't see them.
She leaned forward to look into the yard, but she didn't see Ezekiel's car. She hoped Gino was right. She really wanted to talk to her best friend. She needed to straighten things out between them. She'd chosen Gino as her partner, and she'd fallen hard for him. But she owed it to Belicia to give her permission to tell her husband what Zara was hiding, and to clear things up between them. She had never been terribly good at asserting herself, but this time she had to make Belicia understand why she'd lied about wanting to go out into the world and give talks. She wanted to get away from Whitney's compound, but traveling alone was terrifying. Surely she could explain that to Belicia's satisfaction. Of course, it wasn't that Belicia wouldn't understand. It was the fact that Zara had lied to her. Zeke likes to park close to the road, just out of sight of the house, but also of anyone passing by. He parks where that big stand of trees covers his car. You okay? They're coming now. I'll disappear and give you time to talk to her. She wanted to cling to him, but she wasn't going to be a coward. She loved Belicia, and her sister deserved an explanation. Thank you. And I'll have an answer for you about who to talk to when you come back. She'll tell you Trapp and Wyatt are good men, and they won't talk out of turn. She hoped not. If they did, she knew there was a good chance the Major General would send her right back to Whitney. If not him, someone above him. Chapter 14
Zara? Gino?
Belicia came running up the stairs leading to the porch. She was soaking wet, the water running off her in small rivulets. Behind her, looking protective, was Ezekiel. He was wet, too, but he had a towel and was drying off as he watched them warily.
"I'm so sorry for the way I acted," Belicia said immediately, making Zara feel worse.
Zara shook her head to try to forestall her, but Belicia continued,
"I don't know why I'm so anxious for you, Zara. I just want to lock you away where no one can get to you. Just for a little while, until I know you're whole again.
Belicia looked down at her hands. Zara couldn't tell if tears were swimming in her eyes, or if it was the water from the river. "I saw those bruises and lacerations all over you, and it just about killed me. If I hadn't escaped, if I'd gone back, maybe Whitney wouldn't have sent you to Cheng."
"Of course he would have sent me, Belicia," Zara said immediately. "We talked about escaping, all three of us. We had an agreement. There's no reason for you to feel like any of this was your fault, because it wasn't.
I shouldn't have told you I needed to tell Ezekiel, and I haven't." Belicia sent Ezekiel a quick look of guilt. "That shouldn't have been my first response. It's just that I trust him so much, and I guess I didn't think beyond that."
Gino shifted his body, just enough to draw the attention of both women. "I'm going to get some of Nani's strawberry lemonade. Belicia? Zara? You good with lemonade? Maybe you could help me, Zeke."
"Of course," Ezekiel offered immediately. He dropped a kiss on Belicia's head as he moved past her. Belicia waited until the men had gone into the house before coming all the way onto the porch. She hadn't dried off because her body required moisture, so much of it that sometimes in the middle of the night she got up, filled a tub with water, and immersed herself in liquid.
"I should have trusted your judgment," Zara conceded. "I know Ezekiel must have realized you were keeping a secret. Was he very upset with you?"
Belicia shrugged and waved that away.
"I feel like I drove you right to Gino because of the way I acted.
Why were you able to trust him so fast, to trust his decisions?"
Zara could hear the hurt in her voice. Belicia looked near tears, and she'd always been the strongest one of the three of them.
"I've been your sister since we were a year or so old," Belicia continued. "It was always Shyla, you and me. All those years together, depending on one another, and yet you went to Gino instead of Ezekiel. I don't understand."
"I don't know what I expected when we talked," Zara said. "I wasn't being fair to you, I guess. You were saying things I didn't want to hear, things you had no way of knowing would hurt me. I realized your loyalty wasn't just to me anymore. It was to Ezekiel first, and that made me feel very alone. You had your husband, and I was alone. Not just alone. The one person I had come to depend on, Gino, you were trying to pull out from under me. I know you were trying to protect me, Belicia, but at the time, I was feeling raw and hurt. Things haven't been good for me since you've been gone. Whitney retaliated against Shyla and me both. He thought we knew what you planned." "I'm sorry."
Belicia leaned against the railing, staying out of the sun so the water wouldn't dry too fast on her skin.
"Don't be. None of this is your fault. You're supposed to trust your husband and put him first. I understand that now, and I should have taken the time to understand that then. I was being childish, not wanting to trust him, just because I was jealous that he had you, and I no longer did. I just needed you so much right then, and thought it was going to be the same. You, me, apart from everyone else. Why Gino? Tell me why you don't like him."
Belicia opened her mouth to deny that claim, but then closed it and frowned instead, thinking it over.
"It isn't that I don't like him, Zara. I don't know him. No one really knows him. I've seen men like him, though. He's more at home in the woods or the swamp than in a house, although I suspect he'd be at home hunting in a city. Anywhere he chooses could be a hunting ground."
Zara couldn't fault her for thinking that. She thought it herself. She needed the hunter, the predator in him. She was drawn to that part of him.
"He likes being alone, and as far as I can see, the only ones he really spends time with are Trapp, Wyatt, Drayden, and Joe. Even then, he looks out for them. And Nani, Pepper, Cayenne, the children, and you, Belicia."
Zara didn't think that was a fault at all. If anything, she admired Gino for it, and she trusted and relied on him because of those traits.
"I think all the Ghostwalkers, including your husband, have that same trait."
Belicia nodded reluctantly.
"Yes," she conceded. "I think that's a fair assessment." "That still doesn't say why you don't like him."
Belicia sighed and went to Zara's side, lowering her voice so she was practically whispering in Zara's ear.
I don't know if I should tell you this. I've already screwed up big time by trying to warn you off him. I want to know. I'm asking you. Joe Spagnola is the man leading this team. They all look up to him and respect him. He's kind and compassionate. A good man, Zara. His father is Ciro Spagnola, a rather infamous crime boss. Ciro and Gino's father, Jacopo, were close friends growing up. They served in the military together. When Gino's family was murdered, it was Joe who found them. They saved Gino's life when they took him in. Gino was raised by Ciro. Gino told me Joe was like a brother to him. I knew they'd been raised together, Zara acknowledged. Joe should have been Jacopo's son and Gino Ciro's, Belicia said. Gino was raised as an enforcer for Ciro. Do you understand what I'm saying? Joe turned his back on that life, but Gino embraced it. He's done things that aren't good. She hesitated again. An enforcer tortures and kills people, Zara. She kept her voice very low. He did that for Ciro. For all I know, he's done that for the military. And we both know if you can do that and sleep at night. He couldn't have been very old when he joined the military, Zara pointed out. She wanted to be more shocked and appalled than she was. Gino was quiet, watchful. There was something ice-cold and dangerous in his eyes, and he could turn off emotion. She'd seen him do it. He was also the most protective man she'd ever met, and she could imagine Ciro drilling it into him as a boy that he had to watch over Joe. Gino had lost his entire family. It stood to reason that he would do whatever Ciro deemed necessary to protect those remaining that he loved. Gino had told her more than once that he wasn't a good man. He never lied to her. In fact, everything Belicia was telling her matched up with what Gino had implied. He had confessed that Zhu and he were the same in many ways, that he'd done similar things when needed. She was grateful, he'd told her, so she wasn't shocked when she heard it from Belicia. I know. He followed Joe. But the fact remains, he's capable of doing things most men aren't capable of. You were tortured, Zara. He's capable of that. He would never torture a woman, Belicia, Zara said with complete confidence. Maybe not. But I'm telling you, honey, it isn't natural to be able to do some of the things he's done, both for Ciro and for the military. Are you saying none of the other men would extract information from a prisoner if it was needed to save others in their unit? Belicia was silent for a moment, looking uncomfortable. I don't know the answer to that. Okay, maybe. Yes. But the difference is, he wouldn't have a problem with it. He scares me for you. You think he would hurt me, but I'm telling you, he isn't capable of hurting a woman. If she was an enemy, he might shoot her, but he wouldn't torture her. He wouldn't hit me or abuse me. I know that with everything in me. He's old-fashioned with women, and that isn't going to change. I want someone different for you, someone who allows you the freedom you need. Zara rubbed the hem of the shirt she was wearing, Gino's shirt. It gave her the necessary courage to confess. It was a huge confession, and she knew Belicia would not only be hurt, but possibly angry, and she deserved it. About that, Belicia, the truth is, Gino does give me freedom. He gives me exactly what I need to feel free and whole and safe. I have something I need to tell you, and I'm going to warn you up front. You aren't going to like it. In fact, you're going to feel betrayed, and I never meant it that way. I love you and Shyla, both of you. I didn't have anything to contribute to us like the two of you. You both covered me on our missions when Whitney would send us out. You know you did. No matter how much you want to protest, I wasn't made for being a soldier. I can fight, but I lack the killer instinct. It made me sick, and both of you covered for me. Honey, we love you. You held your own when it was needed. That's the point. You two made it so it was rarely needed. You gave me such a gift. I knew it was a gift. I never took it for granted. The two of you were so fierce. Shyla is sensitive and kind, yet she kicked ass. You were like the sweetest, and you could do whatever was needed. But I let you both down every mission.
You didn't. But keep going.
So far, I don't see the betrayal, Belicia prompted. Zara rubbed the hem of her shirt again, as if she could make a genie appear and whisk her away. Or Gino. She didn't want to admit any of this to Belicia. She looked up to her, loved her. She detested disappointing the few people she loved, the few who loved her. I needed something to contribute to the three of us. The only thing I had to give the two of you and the other girls was a taste of what was out there in the world.
And you did. I can't tell you what that did for all of us. The stories you told, all the adventures you had, the parties at school,
the walks through open parks, and the various countries you were able to visit, the contraband you risked so much to get to us.
You gave that to us, Zara. You made the world come to life for us, and that instilled hope.
You also kept us knowing there was something out there, either to fight for and keep safe, if our lives were always in the compound, or to escape and become part of the real world. You gave all of us that. Zara nodded.
I know I did. I worked hard at it. I tried to become an observer, a recorder, a storyteller, so I could give the best of everything to you. You deserved it.
We needed it, Belicia corrected. That was true. Zara had known that at a very young age. She'd known all the girls had to have hope. She became that hope for them, and she lived that lie for years, for them. She had nothing else to give them when they gave her so much. She hated telling Belicia the truth, but she had to. It wasn't fair to be angry at Belicia when Zara had deliberately deceived her.
I don't like being out in the world alone. I felt exposed and vulnerable, just the way I did when we went into battle. I hated school when I was so young and everyone ignored me, made fun of me or tried to push me around. I was petrified. I was terrified when I traveled, absolutely terrified, of everything. Of taking a plane alone, riding in a taxi alone, checking into a hotel.
The worst was standing up in front of all those people and talking about whatever project I'd headed, knowing I was stealing from them. It was a nightmare for me. The last thing I want to do is continue that life. The words came out in a rush, and she didn't know if she'd said enough that Belicia would understand that the person she'd grown up with and loved wasn't at all the real one. She was fake. Zara had manufactured her so that she could give them something, so she could fit in and feel as if she belonged. It wasn't at all the real Zara, but she'd done what she'd thought was right. Once she'd started down that path, there was no going back from it. Belicia stared at her for what seemed forever. She finally took a deep breath.
Baby, did you think we wouldn't love you for who you really are?
I didn't love me. I wanted to be like you and Shyla. I really did. Both of you are so beautiful, strong and funny, and everything you do is right. I was the screw-up, and both of you always had to protect me. You loved the fact that I'm smart. You loved that I could go out of the compound and bring home those stories. I wanted to give them to you.
Honey, don't you realize that Shyla and I loved you for you? Not your brain or your stories, but for you. That sweet, gentle girl who saw every hurt we had and attended to us. You matter to us. You're our sister. Whitney would have sent you out no matter what. In fact, he probably would have insisted you go out twice as often if he realized you didn't like it. I would have cherished those stories even more, knowing how difficult it was for you to go.
I'm sorry for not telling you the truth, but I couldn't bear to be that person in your eyes. Whitney already despised my cowardice, and I didn't want you to as well. I couldn't have stood to see that look in your eyes.
Zara, how could you think that?
Because I thought it of myself. I still do, although I'm trying to get his voice out of my head and listen to the people I know care about me. I hate that I'm like this. I want to be like you, like Cayenne. Even Pepper has a reason she can't fight. Gino told me she gets brain bleeds around too much violence. I don't have any excuse at all. She looked down at her hands. Gino was slowly making her feel as if she wasn't the coward Whitney had called her, and now Belicia was backing up his claim. Better to believe the two people she loved than a man she had grown to despise. Now it just had to sink into her brain and override her lifetime of insecurities.
"You don't need an excuse. Not everyone has to be that person, Zara. You know you can fight if necessary. You're proficient enough to take on most people, and if push comes to shove, you always have your last line of defense. I don't fight on land. I'm too small, especially against Whitney's super soldiers. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses."
"I know mine. I just don't want anyone else to know them." Belicia sank down into the rocker next to Zara's and drew her legs up.
"Ezekiel is good for me. Maybe Gino's good for you, but he does scare me a little. I'm not going to lie about that."
She hesitated. "Or the fact that I was a little jealous that you relied on him and not me." Zara couldn't help but laugh.
"Jealous? Belicia, I was so jealous of Ezekiel, I couldn't even look at him. The minute you said you wanted to tell him about the SSD, I was so upset I couldn't stand myself.
I don't know why I trusted Gino so fast. Maybe it really is because he rescued me and I've relied so heavily on him, but it didn't feel that way even then. Now, he feels as if he's a part of me. Maybe the best part."
Belicia shook her head. "I don't like that you sell yourself short, Zara. It isn't healthy. You can't get into a relationship if you don't know yourself and feel as if you're bringing something equally of value to that other person."
"I think I'm doing that for him," Zara said. "I hope I am. He says I am. I don't like being away from him, and he doesn't seem to mind sticking close."
"Honey, you can't even walk right now. Of course you're relying on him."
Zara glanced around the yard, and then turned a speculative gaze on Belicia.
"Do you think it's Whitney? Could he have paired us somehow? Is that what you think?"
Belicia frowned.
"It's possible, but not probable. In any case, what if he did? He can't do it emotionally. So that's all you and Gino."
Zara let out her breath. "We talked about pairing, but not in the context of us. I just want something real." She wanted Gino to fall in love with her, not have him want her because Whitney had decreed they should be together.
"Gino is about as real as it gets. I'm here for you, no matter what. If Gino's your choice, then I'll make every effort to get to know him and have an open mind while I do it. But promise me you'll take into consideration what I told you about Joe's father and Gino's background with him. Also, the fact that you still can't walk and can't do anything else but rely on him."
"Gino is my choice, Belicia." She was decisive, firm, assertive. She recognized her path, and she wanted to stay on it because, for her, Gino was the perfect man, and she knew it.
"Like Ezekiel's your choice. He's already making plans to build me a research center. He told me to give him the list of things I need for it. He isn't expecting me to sit in a house waiting for him. He knows I need to work, that I want to, and it's important to me. Because it's important to me, it's important to him."
Zara could see the struggle on Belicia's face. She wanted to believe. She wanted Gino, if that was Zara's choice, to be right for her.
"Have you—" "Yes. And it was awesome. He's awesome. I had no idea it could be like that."
Belicia really smiled for the first time, her grin a little mischievous.
"I have to know. All that practicing. Did it pay off?"
"Most assuredly," Zara said. "You know how I believe in researching everything important. I was very happy I had, because I shocked the heck out of him."
Belicia laughed. "I'll bet you did."
The smile faded, and she leaned into Zara.
"Does he really make you happy?
It was fast for you. I'm not saying it isn't real because I fell hard for Zeke right away, so I know it can happen. Neither of us has ever dated or spent time with other men. I knew Zeke was right for me.
Do you really know, Zara?"
I know he's right for me. I'm hoping I'm right for him. There's a part of me that worries the moment I'm all healed, he won't feel the same way. That's Whitney talking. You're more than good enough for him. It's not that. He's so protective of everyone. You said it yourself. He might have the white knight syndrome. We read about it, remember? We used to look things like that up all the time. He rescued me and took care of me day and night. I looked far worse when he first got to me. He had to take me to the bathroom and stay in the room with me because I couldn't sit on a toilet alone or take a shower by myself. I was completely dependent on him. Once I'm not, that part of him that maybe needs that. Don't. Gino is many things, but he isn't a liar. If he says he wants you, you can bet that he does. He isn't a man to deceive himself. Not ever. He knows exactly what he's looking for. He's had the time to figure that out. If he wanted someone else, Zara, he'd have her already. And I can't believe I'm taking his side. That's because you love me, and you want me to be happy. You know Gino makes me happy. Zara sent her a smile. He does. Very happy. I feel safe when I'm with him and cared for. Loved, even. Although he hasn't said he loves me. But he gets this look on his face sometimes when he's looking at me. He can't help but love you, silly. So, Zara took a deep breath. She had to get this done. I did tell him about the information I stole from Cheng's computers. He wants to tell Trapp and Wyatt, so they can help figure out how to extract it. I didn't want to let him do that until I talked to you. If you say Ezekiel will help without moving that information up the chain of command, then of course you have to tell him. I need to know if you think Trapp and Wyatt are okay to tell. Zeke would tell Joe if he thought it was absolutely necessary and that we could protect you. Otherwise, no. Not if you didn't want him to. Trapp and Wyatt are renegades. Like Gino, they go their own way. Joe has a rough time reining them in. Truthfully, all the men in this unit are a little bit renegade. You're sure about Ezekiel? Belicia nodded. Truthfully, he's as rogue as the others. I think Ghostwalkers just are, Joe included, although because he has to lead, he has fewer choices. He has to bring things to the Major General. Gino protects him, so it stands to reason he wouldn't give him this information about you. It would put Joe in a terrible position. Trapp's impressive. He might be a difficult man, but he comes up with innovative ideas that are far ahead of our time. The strides he's made in the medical world are amazing. Believe me, Zara, no one will have to explain peak carbon and nanotubes to him, or whatever you were talking about. Zara found herself laughing with relief. She should have known Belicia would forgive her and help her immediately. It was her own insecurities that kept making things between them difficult. She had to stop, or she'd end up ruining every relationship she had. She'd be fulfilling Whitney's prophecy through her own stupidity. "Do you really understand all that stuff?" Belicia asked. "Because I looked it up, and half the article sounded like a foreign language. You would understand if you wanted to. You just have no interest in it. You're all about other things. You've got that right." Belicia glanced toward the screen door. "Do you think they're ever going to be bringing us that strawberry lemonade? No one makes it better than Nani." "I think they're waiting for a signal that we're finished with our talk," Zara pointed out, unable to keep the laughter away. Belicia laughed with her and then lifted her voice. "Zeke, Gino, where's the lemonade? We might die of old age before you get out here." "At least of thirst," Zara corrected, although it was sweet of them to disappear so we could talk. "Zeke might want to run, thinking about the two of us locking horns," Belicia said. "But I'm surprised Gino didn't have an ear to the screen. He's all protective of you." The screen opened, and Gino came out carrying a beer and a frosty tall glass of strawberry lemonade. Right behind was Ezekiel with the same. "I was listening at the screen," Gino said, unrepentant. "Did you think I was going to let my woman get upset without me close?" "I wasn't," Ezekiel said, his tone saintly. I did my best to pull him away, told him if the two of you got into a